This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And Ciso. Oh, it's fabulous! A strike to get you up off your feet!
Hello and welcome back to Seagull Social, Season 4, Episode 15, I'm going to guess. I think so. In this episode, we're going to have one half of me and Ryan. We're going to talk about the Ajax game, what we got up to.
Sorry, Maz.
What can we tell you, what we done in Amsterdam, because it was an absolute mental trip. I feel like absolute arse.
Yeah, right, Ben, now. I'd actually love to know what you did in Amsterdam, to be fair.
That's going to be... need to have like a... Was it a paywall behind something? We need to set up some sort of OnlyFans so where we can release what actually happened. But no, it was an unbelievable trip. I feel like, woke up today feeling absolutely rough. It's finally caught up with me. And then the second half, Maz is going to arrive because he's working at the moment. And we'll talk about the Sheffield United game because that was pretty annoying how that went down. But Ryan, are you feeling ill at all, or have you managed to avoid everything that most people picked up in Amsterdam?
No, I'm actually all right. I mean, I had a couple of days of just being absolutely dead. Obviously, I covered all the press thanks to... Shout out Brian Owen, by the way. Deserves a big shout out from me, actually. The just cause. I don't think he actually listens to the pod, but absolute legend getting me there. He obviously got me there. And I didn't obviously drink because I was covering all that stuff. So no drinking for me. I was being a good boy on the black coffees that night. Which was very weird. I'll be honest, not being in the away end. But no, I have avoided all hangovers from Amsterdam. But I did catch up when I got home. I had a few drinks and stuff because it was just it was a great day. Mate. It was a great 2 days actually. Just been fantastic.
Yeah, I saw your reel that you put together of what it's like working in football. That looked really, really cool. It's a nice little journey, and obviously, for you especially because you've been doing the social media thing for Brighton for so long. Me and Maz probably only jumped in for three years seems like a long time for me, but we've only probably been in the Brighton kind of game for 3 years. So for you to have started Talk Seagulls when you did and then to be walking out in the press area in Ajax in the Johan Cruyff Arena, one of the best stadiums in Europe, to then witness your club, our club, beat them 2-0. I mean, that moment must have been absolutely mad for you, surely.
Yeah, you've just sold it right there. I mean, I can't even believe it, to be honest. I mean, it's like, again, it was something that's we've probably got it just a bit on Seagull Social. Like when you start it, it's like embarrassing, isn't it? You know, not embarrassing, like people take the mick out of you.
Yeah, of course.
And like, I started doing Talk Seagulls. Like, oh, Talk Seagulls in school. You know, you walk through the corridors and someone's, when they finally find your account and they see that it's people you may know from Facebook and it's tagged Talk Seagulls, and I'd lie and say it's not me. And it's just weird. You'd like hide your phone under at the canteen trying to post something on Instagram. And like now it's just, we're in the press area talking to like Deserbi after the game, and the managers and Divine Wrench as well actually joined us as well. So it's just a surreal moment. And I didn't ask Divine Wrench to join us, but he was class, by the way. I actually really like him at Brighton. But it's just mad for all fans. I think that game, like, you know, let's ignore Sheffield United just for now and just think about that moment there of sitting in that stadium in Amsterdam, at home, wherever you were, in a pub in Brighton, like, to just think about that, Brighton playing in Amsterdam and winning and putting in a performance, it's just, it defies all superlatives, Ben.
It is a mad pinch me moment, because, you know, when we got that draw, especially, it was the number one probably destination for 90% of Brighton fans, and probably thought, oh, we'll be good to get a draw there, not knowing how their season would unfold. But when we, obviously, the team that we played, Thursday, God, it feels like, yeah, what was it now? Monday, Jesus. It's been an absolute whirlwind, hasn't it, since then? But the team we played on Thursday.
Mate. It's been a long week.
It has been a really long week. Jesus Christ. Mate, it's just everyone's so confused, because I've seen so many like BBC interviews of people that I know, like Wilf May. Mate, shout out him. I met him. I finally bumped into him. He was absolute joke. But he done an interview with the BBC and he was like, oh, it's been a great weekend. Unbelievable experience.
It's been a great weekend. I saw it.
It's literally Thursday. Absolute donut. And then Brett, my friend Brett, he loves it. He was on BBC as well. I got sent it in the morning by my parents. They were like, is this your mate Brett?
Did he get on?
Yeah.
Did he?
And he was like, he was absolutely steaming. He didn't remember actually doing it, he said, the next morning. But in his interview, he's like, oh yeah, beat him in their own back park twice, or like, we just kept saying it, like, no one says back park as well. He absolutely butchered that. And then he had a space like a stutter, and then he went, surely we're going to win the league, surely. And then out there they just cut it, and it goes to the presenter into the studio. She's like, right, how have they let this drunk man on the BBC? Honestly, it's so good. And he's absolutely gone.
Mate, it's just, but that's the thing though, is it, that's what it's for. Like, things like that. I mean, obviously, I wasn't in that drunken state. And as I say, I was being good boy out there. And I saw you actually in Amsterdam, Ben.
Yeah, bumped into
I think we were both in different situations.
Yeah, met Ryan's family.
Get the metro over to the ground early.
Met Ryan's family, absolutely steaming, walking out of the Irish bar. Because, you know, when you go to Amsterdam, any European city, you go straight to an Irish bar and see the sights, don't you? Fuck me. That was mad.
Yeah.
But yeah, just bumped into you. Yeah. I was like, oh, God.
I could tell you were not all there. I mean, I had a little fist bump with you, but I was thinking, Bennett, I don't think he even knows I'm here. Like, he was looking through me. I was like, okay, do you know what? Fair play. Like, it might be midday, but you do you, mate. I went and got a bottle of water from the from one of the little off licenses before I headed over. But yeah, it was so weird not being in the away end, mate. But
to be fair, it was.
But I must admit that our away end, it was only 2,600 of them, but we looked very good. We were in good voice. And considering we're in Amsterdam, in Ajax, like one of the loudest grounds notoriously, we made a good account of ourselves. And that's what it's about at the end of the day, isn't it? You know, making a good account of yourselves and getting well sort of known. And we might not be doing so well in the league, Ben, but at least we're really winning these games in Europe and giving fans like some memories that we really wanted.
Yeah, no, these memories literally last a lifetime. So many tweets I've seen from fans that are out there, and all the pictures of them saying it's stuff that you're going to remember for ages. Like, my granddad is a Tottenham fan. I think he was probably the last one of our family to ever go to football in Amsterdam. He was Spurs in the cup final against Rotterdam, maybe. And they played in Amsterdam. And that was, I think it was when they won some like UEFA Cup or something like that. So that, and then to fast forward, 60 odd years for then his grandson to be doing it, but for Brighton this time. It is mad, mad memories. And like, he's very much getting on a bit, but he remembers that so specifically. And just hope that when I'm his age, when I'm his age, I'll still remember. Oh my God, I can't talk. This is what Amsterdam's done to me. I hope that when I'm his age, I can remember this trip, because right now, apparently I can't. I'm looking through my camera roll, just trying to remember stuff. So I imagine this podcast is going to be all over the place, because lots of little things.
Did you go to the stadium, mate? I know you watched the game from the bar, but did you go to the stadium and have a look around the Johan Cruyff Arena?
No, I didn't do any tours or anything like that.
It's honestly the first sighting you get coming from Schiphol, not Schiphol, that's the airport. What's it called? I can't pronounce the name of the station. You come off the train, you go across, and that first view you get of it is absolutely unbelievable. It's huge, mate. It's huge because it's on top of a multi-story car park. And I just instantly thought, this is pretty cool. Like, you just look at it. It's got Johan Cruyff's face, like, plastered on the front. And I just thought, oh, my God. Like, Brighton are playing here tonight. You know, it's not just a friendly. I'm not here to go on a stadium tour because I'm on holiday. Like, this is just, like, Brighton are playing here. And then what made it even more pinch me, Ben, was when Brighton started playing a game and then Ansu Fati scored. And I think it was that moment that really hit me. I was like, Ansu Fati just scored for Brighton at the Johan Cruyff Arena in the Europa League. If you could write that in a sentence and send it to me in 2019, yeah. I would just laugh in your
Barcelona's
face.
Barcelona's number 10, who's on loan at Brighton. The guy that was, took Messi's shirt, scores the goal for Brighton at the Amsterdam Arena or Johan Cruyff Arena. Yeah, that was, you wouldn't believe that at all. And that was mad. Like when that goal went in, so I was in the Euro pub, the one near the square, absolutely packed in like sardines, but I would not change it for the world. And the atmosphere was incredible. And also shout out to every Brighton fan out there, because I know you said we made a good account of ourselves in the stadium, but throughout the city, the whole days there, I think people were there for like Wednesday to Saturday, Thursday to Saturday.
Yeah, they were.
There was absolutely no trouble. And I think there was a lot of, I'm pretty sure there was some stuff in some local papers. Well, maybe not that I saw, but there was some stuff in some papers, I'm pretty sure, some quotes saying about how well behaved the Brighton fans have been and how we've made a really, like we've done ourselves really proud. So that was pretty cool, because on the flip side, when we went Marseille away, there's a bit of trouble. That was so stupid. But done so well. Yeah, that Euro Pub atmosphere was insane. And we got absolutely drenched. As soon as that goal went in, my God, absolutely soaked. I turned around and looked at one of my mates and his hair was just like
I saw a lot of tweets saying they were covered in beer. I was thinking at most I'm going to be covered in coffee, but do you know what? I'll take it. Because that was if I knocked it over when I sort of subtly went like that. But I must admit, for a Dingra's one, I did sort of go for it a bit because I just could not. I was like, you're there, aren't you? Do you know what I mean? Actually, to be fair, their pre-match thing, managed to nick one of their little flags because it was pretty cool. And I thought a little memory there.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if you can see it past the mic, but it's a very cool flag, to be fair. But yeah, I just thought, I think actually Brian got me it, to be fair. But yeah, I thought, have to have a little souvenir, don't you? And in fact, do you know what? It's worth mentioning, as I say, the fans out there were pretty surreal. And as you say, Ben, it weren't too badly behaved, but even just walking around the ground sort of thing, it was all pretty fine. Like it was nothing, you know, like people were sort of plastered that they out there, like they put it on social media being like, you know, be really, really careful when you go around. And I think I nearly walked into the ultras end, which is on the other side, and I quickly turned around just in case, you never know. But again, like there's nothing out there to be scared of. You know what I mean? Like people really make it out like it's going to be awful, but it's far from it, isn't it?
Mm. And like 80%, because there are so many Brighton fans out there in Amsterdam, just in the central area, it's like every corner you walk down, there'll be Brighton fans there. It was literally like being in Brighton, but in Amsterdam, just like picking up half the population of Brighton, just putting them in Amsterdam. Just everywhere you go, they just see someone you know or a Brighton fan. It was, that was quite surreal. I would like to go back to Amsterdam and do it properly, like actually see it properly.
Yeah.
Rather than doing it as like a
did you look
trip.
Around at all, or did you just purely go for the beers?
Oh yeah, we walked pretty much everywhere. I never went on a tram because we were just walking everywhere. Went to Febo. Yeah, yeah. Did you ever go to Febo, that place that's got like the vending machine where you get like the hot food? I went there quite a bit, it was so good.
I went to around the back of like, well, I had a look around all the touristy bits because you sort of got it, weren't you? Because I haven't been there before. So I went around all the like canals and that and had a look around, and then had a look around the city because I was there from the Wednesday. So I thought I may as well have a look around a bit.
Yeah.
And went to the Anne Frank house, which was really odd.
Oh, did you?
That was such a weird feeling. Yeah. I looked at it because obviously, you know, in school when you do like the World War stuff.
Yeah.
I looked at that and I was like, this is pretty weird, not actually being here. And then had a club sandwich. Mate, my life was nowhere near as
club
crazy
sandwich.
As it could have been. Like, it was the most boring if you were, but I tell you what, I loved it because it was so cool to just witness everything and actually remember it all for a start. And two, not have a banging headache when I woke up in the morning. And actually three, it was quite nice just to, as you say, see all that press area. Because as you sort of go in there, you just feel like, the boy, you know, you're going in there, it's a hospitality end, and it's so unusual for me to do all that sort of
thing. It's mad.
And I think, yeah, as you say, like when you're a fan doing it, I think that's what I really wanted to portray, was I am just a fan doing this and not like sold my soul out to become a journalist sort of thing, because I'm not a journalist. Before people think I'm a journalist, I'm not. And I think that's what it was quite nice to do, was almost witness it from the other side of the fence and see. But it makes you realize also how nice everyone is. Like everyone is just pretty sound. Everyone just talks to each other. And shout out to Jules Breach as well. She came up to me and knew the podcast, knew me. And I was like, oh my God, like what? And like the people actually knew stuff. And actually, I won't say Admin's name because I think he wants to be anonymous, but he's going to hate this. But I, ladies and gentlemen, was responsible for the lineups graphic that went out. So the Teams In news that came up on your social media feeds, I had to write that, or at least read out the names, because he didn't know the teams. So I shouldn't say anymore because I'll get in trouble. But yeah, that's that was quite funny.
I think we bumped into him.
I know you're either going to be laughing or hating me, but either way, it'd be funny.
We bumped into him, and one of my mates was like, "Oh, that's admin. That's admin." And I was like, "What admin? No way." That was quite mad seeing it, because I know there's like two of them apparently. I don't know. But yeah,
he's nice.
What was I going to say? Oh yeah, before I forget, because you were saying you're walking through the canals. Obviously, you can't really avoid the red light district because it's dotted around everywhere. It's not actually like one specific area for the red light district. It's just dotted around. And you know, there's literally flats, people living in their living rooms, and then three feet away, there's a woman in a window, and it's just, that was bonkers to me. Like, there's just a family living there with their curtains open, having a chill Saturday night, and yeah, just so close to them is all this stuff going on. That was bonkers to me, but obviously it's very normal for them.
Yeah, it's normal for them, isn't it? I mean, I didn't really go to that in the afterwards. I didn't go in the night or anything. I saw that we took over, didn't we, a little bit along the canals in the evening. I saw the
fans
after the game.
That was like probably one of the highlights for unbelievable. The trip, for sure. That
looked
incredible.
It looked mad. Like, to be fair, I regret not going, because after the thing, I was like, I was shattered by this point, because I'd just written an article and like done all the press stuff. Like, we wrapped up about sort of 10 past 10 ish. And then, you know, you come out and it's like 10:30. And then I was like, I could go into town now, but I was like, I'm just so dead, I might just fall asleep. And I did go to sleep. And I was like, I do regret it. Looking at all the videos in the morning, I was like, that looked pretty cool, to be fair.
Yeah, that's right. When we qualify from the group, we'll get someone else, and then we'll be able to do it all over again, because I'm not going through Athens.
Yeah, I won't do the press that one.
Yeah, no. I mean, well, yeah, me and Maz had to do the media stuff, but then as soon as we finished what time we finished in Marseille, but yeah, straight on it, straight back to the with all the Brighton fans.
Yeah, but you're different, mate. You're built different. I will be asleep by midnight. Like, I could drink all evening, but I would be asleep by midnight every time. As soon as it goes past midnight hours, I'd be pointless being around, because I'd just be like, I just want to go home. And that's my problem. Like, I'm tired after that, because I wake up early regardless of whether I want to or not. So like, even if I don't want to, I'll probably still be awake at 7 the next morning. So I'm built wrong. Feeling, if that makes sense.
Yeah, built. No, you're built right, to be fair. It's subjective, I guess. If we're someone that's listening to this and wants to ask questions about Amsterdam, what do you reckon they'd ask? Like, what do you reckon they'd want to know about the trip to Amsterdam?
Good question. I mean, as you say, already you've mentioned like the coolest parts of it, and obviously the city's pretty cool. And everyone always talks about how like nice a city is, just as a city, and it is a very nice city, to be fair.
Recommend like, it. You know, definitely.
I want to go back there and just like have a look around again. Because although I said I was a bit of a tourist for a bit, but I was only a tourist for an hour or two. And I think if I could, I'd probably have a look around a bit more and, you know, try a few of the pubs and all that sort of thing. That would have been good. But yeah, I think that's one thing that you would be able to tell the story of rather than me, because obviously I was quite jetted off. Like, we've got two very different sides, which almost makes the podcast quite nice.
No, it's good. It's good. I guess there's so many highlights for me, for sure. But one that literally gave me goosebumps was we were in the Irish pub. I think Luke Links was actually there at the time. He might have still been there. Don't Look Back in Anger started playing. And it's such a football song. Honestly, the whole pub erupted into singing the song word for word.
Villa away, end of the season.
I didn't go, but probably it was. Yeah, it was insane. Like the actual goosebumps going so sad in unison. It was incredible. It's a bit like that. There's that video of all the football hooligans and they're singing some song together in a pub. I can't remember what the song they're singing in, but it was very similar to that. And then that ended, and then we're going seagulls, seagulls, seagulls. And then my friend Danny, I think he then started, Good Old Sussex. No, not Good Old Sussex. What I say, I can't remember what he started singing. But then everyone started singing that as well, man. Afterwards. Sorry, yeah, my brain's absolutely scrambled. And then, yeah, that was just incredible. I think I got it on film of everyone singing it. Let me have a look. I swear I did. Oh my god, my nose is
this is a Ben story that you have to almost try and write in your own head as to what it looks like, because you hear bits and pieces and you have to try and link it all up together. The amount of time I was a bit here, I don't even know. It's such a broken story.
Here you go.
Okay, fair enough. Great song.
Here we go.
She knows it's too late.
Great song.
That was insane. That was pretty cool. Then we had this massive flag. I don't know if you saw a picture of the flag we made. So carrying
a lot
around,
of flags.
Yeah, the flags are on point. Met the boys at Dogma as well. Met our football lot. So the
Did
two
you?
Lads, yeah, the two lads that run Art of Football. One's a Gillingham fan, one's a Wolves fan. Didn't know that. They gave out like 70 limited edition Amsterdam Brighton bucket hats and everyone was wearing them. So they were like, oh, where'd you get that from? So I ran over to them and they're like, oh, we literally just gave away the last one. I was like, fuck. All the bucket hats were so cool. So shout out to them. Oh,
got it.
Because they're doing a lot with the club.
Mate, we need to go on them. We need to go on
we
them.
Do, we do. We I did say to him, I was like, oh, is
That'd
there any,
so
is
cool.
there any, I was like, is there any chance of getting some? They were like, no, we literally just made them for this and this only. I was like, you're not going to sell them? He was like, nah. I was like, oh, well, that's a shame. So that was annoying because those bucket hats were really, really cool. What else happened?
What was the thing that was like the key moment in European? What was it that like really? Because obviously I say like seeing Ansu. I think that actually one thing I didn't mention was before the game, De Zerbi is very open with his training. So he opens training up, and I think it's a Europa League requirement as well now. So you can go into watch
like
the training
public training
before the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's obviously press only.
Yeah, press only.
And going out there into that stadium when it was completely empty, and all that was there was the Brighton team warming up and doing their runs and whatever they were doing, and just walking out in that ground and looking at it, I think that completely took my breath away because I was like, you know, it's not just going to a stadium and looking around it. It's like, it was had such an aura because it was like, you know, De Zerbi's pitch at that point. We had the whole pitch. They're all training and you had everyone sort of there taking photos. We're only allowed 15, 20 minutes. And I like, for me, I was just like so taken aback by it. I was like, this is mental, like actually mind blowing. Like again, where we are, you know, this is Brighton at the end of the day. And I think that was probably like the biggest wow moment, I think.
Yeah. But the wow moment for me would be looking at my bank balance the day we got back, probably. Jesus Christ.
Mate, it was Jesus expensive Christ. Out there, wasn't it?
Yeah. Fucking hell it was. Jesus Christ. Oh man, yeah, but it was absolutely worth it. Like, it's once in a lifetime opportunity, isn't it? Really. So that was the mentality we all had. So it was like, just absolutely go for it, enjoy it. Don't think about what you're doing. You just do it. Basically,
do not then, worry later.
Yeah, exactly. I think the highlights for me were just, I guess, being in the bar, watching the game. All these familiar faces that you know and see at the matches and away days. Everyone's so friendly and chip. Like literally everyone's mates that went there. So people will be walking in, you'd be like, oh, man, how you doing? All that sort of stuff. That was pretty incredible. And obviously when the goals went flying in, all the songs we were singing, the night outs, was just insane. So good. I can't really pin it down at one moment, but definitely that Don't Look Back in Anger was followed by the Bryant song was the moment that gave me an absolute like, goosebumps, probably. In an Irish bar, obviously, not in a fantasy place.
Yeah. And it sounds so cliche, but like, I know we say it nearly every single time, but like how far we've come as a football club. Like, it's just nuts. Like, it really is. I mean, when you even just look back a few years ago, and I was talking to one of my mates today who's a Brighton fan, and he made a good point. He said, the fact we're going into only, what, our second season in the Premier League, where we're not worried about relegation, properly worried about relegation. I mean, this is really the only time, and we're in the Europa League. You know, don't get wrong, we could still get relegated. It's not impossible with the rubber on at the minute. But I mean, we're not really thinking about relegation, to be honest. And I think that's mad. Like, and in that same time, we've then gone on these crazy European trips. Obviously, I didn't make Marseille, you did, but I may go to Athens. I'm undecided at the minute. Pricey old price. Yeah. And a long way to go, but I don't know, we'll think about it. To have that problem of knowing whether I'm going to go to Athens or not is great. And I think
exactly.
that's such a great problem to have, you know?
Sorry, I was blowing my nose for the 18,000th time today. I'll probably sneeze. Like...
Listen, mate, it's not as bad as that one where you were so hungover and you couldn't talk.
Yeah, true.
Because that was an uphill task of a podcast. That was.
Two of the last three episodes I've done, I've not been in a good state. I generally probably have sneezed like 500 times a day. I feel so rough. It's been painful. What'd you say? How crazy it is doing it? Yes, it is crazy. Which is why I'm just, living for it and just taking it for what it is instead of overthinking it and just going to these places and just having as much fun as possible, to be honest, instead of overthinking it. And then
just
depending
it.
How far
it's
we...
A bit like, remember when we got that... Sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, depending on how far we get in the competition, you never know when we're going to go out. So just enjoy it as much as you can now. And also, we never know when we're going to be back in the competition. So, if we do manage to qualify for Europe again this season...
We're going even bigger.
yeah, exactly. When we get to Dublin and when we beat Liverpool in the final in Dublin, we'll get UCL football. That'll be nuts. But yeah, if we get European football again this season...
Wish you staying here. That'd be great.
Crying at the end of the season twice in a row.
I love Alexis, though. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to see him crying, but same time, it would be pretty mad to have him in the final of the Europa League. I know we're getting way too ahead of it. We need to get out of the group first, but that'd be very funny.
And then
but
get past the people that drop down from the Champions League as well.
Yeah, true. Do you reckon, how far do you reckon we'll get, Ben? Like, let's get an updated scenario. I mean, provided we get out of the group, what do we need? Another point, isn't it? We need to draw
Apparently
with Athens,
it's a draw.
I think,
yeah, draw with Athens and then we're good. I'm desperate to
go
finish
into
first,
it trying
Ryan.
To win.
If we finish first, then we've got a good chance. Because then, like I said, we avoid those Champions League teams that drop down for the playoff situation.
Is that how it works? See, I don't really understand it too much because I never really looked into it too much before now.
Yeah, so it's third place in the Champions League will then drop down into the Europa League. So then second place in our group will play someone that drops down from the Champions League in third place. If that makes sense. And at the moment, I mean, I haven't really looked at the Champions League groups yet. That could be something that could be quite interesting to do right now, actually, seeing as we're kind of getting deeper into it. Let's have a look at who's third.
I mean, obviously, we're so new to tournament football, aren't we?
Yeah. So I'll run through some of the teams that are currently third right now. Obviously, this could change. So Shakhtar third. You've got AC Milan a third, Feyenoord a third, Salzburg a third. Braga a third. Okay, these actually don't sound too bad, to be honest. Galatasaray a third and Lons a third. You know what? That's actually better than I thought it was going to be. So, and then I'm looking at who's bottom of some of the groups. You've got Young Boys who potentially go third. Newcastle might drop down into it. I mean, even PSG, any of that Dortmund, PSG, Milan group can still finish third. Celtic could potentially go third. Benfica are fourth in their group. So you'd expect them to maybe finally get a win in their group and potentially overtake Salzburg. Union Berlin.
I don't want Newcastle down.
Oh my God, Sevilla are fourth in the group. So they might not even drop down to Europa League at this rate. So there are some big teams that aren't even going to...
What does that do? Just knock them out completely?
Yeah, they're just out completely. And then it's similar to us. So obviously if we somehow manage to finish third, God forbid, then we drop down to the Conference League.
We go to Conference.
Yeah,
I get that. So
we could.
I mean, out of what you've said, I think Dortmund are going to be all right because they've just done a double over Newcastle, haven't they? I mean,
yeah.
You would imagine who else in that Newcastle group? Newcastle, Dortmund, PSG, and who?
Milan.
Oh yeah, probably
bigger
Milan
teams
finish.
Like Benfica, Seville. Who else did I say that? What kind of?
God, Milan would be a good one, wouldn't it? That would be
Milan
good,
would
just
be
to
nuts.
Go to San Siro and watch Brighton.
And we could actually sing the correct song of Have You Ever Seen the Palace in Milan?
Yeah, Have You Ever Seen Palace in Milan? Yeah, and then they actually have been there, yeah, which so never really works. Apparently they're in the 70s or something, but they've never been Amsterdam, to be fair.
Doesn't count.
Yeah,
it's
I mean,
not recent, so.
Yeah, true. Yeah, football only started in 2003.
History started a couple of seasons ago for Brighton when we got Potter in. That's when it started. Just kidding. Obviously, we've got an unbelievable history before people take that too seriously.
Mate, we're huge. Right. We've won so many trophies, as Chelsea fans always like to tell us about. But where do you generally think, like, if you were to guess right now, estimate, should I say, what would be great for you and what would be realistic for you? Obviously, the dream is to go on and win it, obviously. Yeah. But I mean, what would be a great way to mark it? Like, do you want a final or do you want to just get through to the where?
Oh, yeah, obviously, I'd love to get to final. I think because we've had such a difficult group, it's maybe made me a bit more apprehensive about the latter stages. But if you look at the teams in the other groups, they're probably teams that you say, oh, we could win a lot of those. It's just because we've had quite a tough group. We kind of think this competition is quite difficult.
We've done really well. We've done really well.
Yeah. Yeah. We've turned it around because when we lost to Athens, I was thinking, oh God, we're not going to bottle this, are we? We're not going to bottle this whole group stage and lose every match. So, I mean, that genuinely went through my mind. I was like, God, we are miles off it. But no, we have turned it around brilliantly. Mm. So that's good. Where can we get to? I have no idea. I'll just throw out.
We could be like that West Ham, couldn't we? Where we do well in the Europa League quarters, you say?
Potentially, yeah. Again, the thing is, though, it's all depending on who you get. And we, you know, what we like in knockout football. I mean, not usually good in knockout football, I don't think, from history.
Well, this is what I was going to. This is what I'm glad you said that. Because, obviously, domestic. I mean, as we say, we're so new to tournament football. Yeah, but I mean, we're in new territory. I mean, don't get me wrong. We've now got a lot of injuries. Dunk, obviously, being out. Hopefully, he's neck back for Forest. We've got a lot of injuries. We're going to need some players in the January for sure. But I mean, the squad we've got is very capable of getting out of the group for a start. Secondly, when you say, like, you look across the rest of it, we've got a very good team. I mean, if we just, not solely focused, because we don't want to get ourselves relegated, but I mean, focused primarily on just getting to the final of that Europa League, then I think, I think honestly, that's probably our best bet at the minute. Because I'd rather us finish 10th in the Premier League, and win the Europa League or get to a semi-final in the Europa League.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Do you know what I mean? Because the difference between 10th and if you're not going to qualify for anything, what's the point? You get a bit more money, but I mean, you're going to get more money for getting further in Europa League, surely.
Mm. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, you definitely do. If you play Football Manager, you always get a bit more money in every single round. But then, yeah, I guess, yeah, league table-wise, top half finish. I'll take 8th, to be honest. Mm. I'll take 8th and, yeah, semi-final in Europa League would be insane. So that'd be cool. Quick one, Ryan. Maz is back home. Should we have him on for 5 minutes and then do you need to go?
Yeah, let's hop him on because I can just quickly cover Sheffield United.
Yeah, and then we can go into that.
I'll probably head off. Yeah, give me 10, 15 minutes. I'll do it.
Oh, cool. All right, we're going to wrap this up cool. And then 10 seconds, Maz will be with us. All right, so I'll see you in literally 10. Well, I'll see you in 1 second. Goodbye.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, welcome back. I told you that would be a second. And Ryan forgot to do his hand move, I think.
Oh, for God's sake, Ben. Oh, my God. Why didn't it mind me at least? I could have been sad.
That would have been a really, really cringy transition.
Rubbish production quality. No, the
production quality is great because we've gone from 2 to 3 in the space of a millisecond. Maz has joined us. Maz, how are you doing? Well, you feeling rough like myself?
I am feeling really rough, yeah. I've got a cold, got a flu. Really? Yeah, I powered through. I went and watched, obviously.
Sounded, to be fair.
Mighty Albion, the Mighty Girls. Yeah. And then I had a whole shoot today, so I don't know how I'm still here. But, yes, you want a line from me for Ajax, don't you?
Yeah, not that sort of line.
Me. Right.
Sorry, that was Ryan's joke off there as well.
No, it was not.
So my line is, historic night in Amsterdam. What a win. Well done, the boys. There you go.
I'm not paying 13 quid for that line.
Fuck's sake. That's the best I could do, really, in the situation, SMH, man. In the scenario.
It's right. Me and Ryan have just done half an hour on it, so don't worry. I think we've covered it. We didn't even really talk about the match. We just talked about the trip, I said to Ryan, a lot of people liked that when we'd done that for Marseille, so I think it was nice to do the same thing.
Probably better, isn't it?
Memories, I mean, people know, we were absolutely unbelievable. Tahoud was sick. Not so much at Sheffield United, though, which we'll probably talk about now. Disappointing result, for sure. Very, very disappointing. Really mad contrast between the result and the experience at Amsterdam, at Ajax, sorry, to then, fast forwarding to Sunday and rain against relegation fodder. Seems to happen all the time. Happens every season, really, where we always, a game we're expected to win, dominate, it rains, and then we, kind of mess up somehow. I would like to say, to give Sheffield United credit, before the red card, they did start coming into the game a bit more, and I thought, oh, they might get an equaliser here. And then a few minutes later, Tahoud actually gets the red card. I thought, oh, well, they probably will actually get the red card here. So, yeah, we just did not look good after that happened, really, did we? Ryan, what were your thoughts on the game? What was the atmosphere like, obviously, after a mad few days in Amsterdam?
Atmosphere's as dull as it comes, mate. At home, like, what has happened to us? Like, I mean, look, at the end of the day, everyone's hungover. I mean, that's the one thing that I'd probably say is the saving grace of the atmosphere conversation. But the Amex atmosphere, as we know, is not great. But I thought actually first half we were really good. Controlled the game. I didn't think there was anything to worry about. There wasn't too much to report apart from a Dingra moment of quality, which we can talk about anyway. Because Facundo, by the way, needs his credit because I haven't seen it enough. He gets so much stick. But he gave a great assist and it was a good finish from Adingra. Just not too much else to say apart from that, really, for the first half. But the point is, yes, it might be a bit frustrating, but we were controlling and cruising. And that's all we needed to do for the second half. That's it.
And we didn't. But that Adingra goal reminded me of Izquierdo's against Stoke. Just like the whole give and go, give and go, give and go.
Yeah,
and
good shout, good shout.
That was a great goal. Maz, what was it like witnessing that Adingra goal? Did you think, Cole, we're going to win 4 or 5 here?
Mate, genuinely, in the warm-up, I'm actually not even exaggerating or lying or anything. So, actually, let's start on a positive note, actually. So on a nice note. I went to the game with my dad for the first time since 2005 when we played Bristol City. Nice. Yeah. We played Bristol City in the playoff final, which is mental. Like, to think I haven't been to a game with my dad since then, which is insane. He took me and my sisters to Cardiff, to the Millennium Stadium for the playoff final where Leo Knight scored that goal, obviously. And I hadn't been to the football with him since then, which is insane. So yeah, that was really nice. My dad really enjoyed it. So we got there a bit early for context. We got there a bit early because my dad wanted to soak it all up and stuff. As we're warming up, so we obviously sat W1H, which is obviously right close to like where they warm up with the goals and stuff. And I kid you not, I turned around to my dad and I said, Adingra will score first today. And I was about to put a bet on it. And obviously, in typical Amex internet fashion, I couldn't get on the bookies quick enough. So, yeah,
Jay, I was really gutted. Between us is here on the podcast today, ladies and gents.
Honestly, the way he was warming up, he was banging top bins every time. He was genuinely banging in top bins every time. And I was like, he's got a score. I was gutted about that. But yeah, talk about the goal. It was, really, really well set up. Really, really good layoff by Facundo, considering. And the dribbling of Adingra was unbelievable. It was just a top goal all round. And it got everyone on their feet. And like Ryan said, the atmosphere was, I wouldn't say it was shit, because I've definitely heard worse. But I agree with Ryan. It wasn't inspiring. Like Roberto Zerbi's war cry the other day. It didn't exactly come to fruition for him, I don't think, because it was hardly many people going for it, to be honest with you. But it was a great way to set up the day. And I did, to answer your question, I did think we might go on then and score 2 or 3, which I think in the first half we easily could have. And then second half, it was just awful, mate. I don't know what happened in the second half, but we were shite. And Tahoud as well. I just don't get why people stood up and applauded him off. I really don't understand that, I'll be honest. I'm calling
because he played so well against Ajax. I think people wanted to maybe. Because I think when I was watching it, it looked like he was.
So you clapping him off against Ajax then, Ben? Why are you clapping him off against when you just gone down to 10 men and you're clapping him off?
No. I was just saying that he was really, really good against Ajax. So it was like a bit of like a let's not get your head down because we need him to have confidence and feel like he's loved. Because let's be honest, like he's probably not the most loved player, especially prior to Ajax. He's a bit of like a outsider. He started in the team in the season, fell out of it. So it's more just giving him the confidence.
I'm not having a go at Dahoud. I'm having a go at our fans, the ones that stood up and applauded when we've just gone to 10. Like, honestly, I don't really get the whole concept of you've applauding a man who's just cost your team the game, essentially.
Maybe it was more sympathy because some people think it was deliberate. Some people don't. I don't think it was. Maybe I'm just being an idiot and saw it for what I want to think. Maybe why also Brighton fans were probably thinking, all right, a bit of sympathy. Don't get your head down, mate. Come on, boys. Were they also clapping the team to be like, come on, let's get on with it? Like,
I did clap Dahoud, I'm not gonna lie, but I didn't stand. Quite a few around me did. I sort of just clapped because I've got to be honest, I didn't really see it in the moment and I didn't know the severity of the situation. But then when I looked at it back, it's a red card. But again, as Ben said, I don't think he meant to do it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. What about you, Maz? Do you think it was a deliberate one?
No, I don't think it was deliberate at all. However, I think it definitely was a red card. I think, nine times out of 10, you're going to give that. If that happened to us, we would be asking for it as well. But no, I don't think it was. I don't think he went in with intention to hurt anyone, or I don't think he did it deliberately at all. But it's just, do you know what really annoyed me? I saw Belaba warming up and I knew he was going to take him off before he got the red card. And then literally a second earlier, yeah, that was so exciting. I knew he was going to come off. And then he had to take off Billy Gilmore, which I thought, yeah.
He did come off.
He had no choice really at that point. Yeah. Well, So, yeah, it was really frustrating to know that he was about to come off and then done that silly, silly challenge. And we were down to 10 men and ultimately we ended up drawing the game.
Yeah, very typical. Fair. I was going to say, that apparently there was controversy in the other end with, was it Jaden Bogle? Apparently he handballed it, but I mean, I watched the game, but I cannot remember that happening unless I blinked and missed it. Apparently there was a penalty shout and it was also mentioned on Match of the Day too.
Yeah, there was.
That either. Well, can you tell me what happened? Because I have no idea what they're talking about. Maybe I do remember, but...
I don't know what happened, but I know there was a penalty shout.
Wasn't that on Webster?
No, that was a separate one, to be fair. They VAR checked.
They VAR checked it, and then
I don't know. Because obviously the Sheffield United fans were bantering us when they said handball, as you do. But yeah, I don't know. It wasn't. I didn't really see anything that indicated it was handball. Obviously, the referee didn't give it either. To be honest with you, I know a lot of people were against the ref. But that wasn't the reason why we lost that game, or at least drew that game. Feels like a loss. I feel like the referee was poor. Yes. Is that the reason we lost the game or drew the game? No.
I agree with that, Ryan, but also at the same time that, for example, right, there was a couple of decisions which I sort of left me a bit bamboozled. It was one of them was the foul on Belaba when he was through on goal. Didn't get a card.
Yes,
that was
just
baffling
point.
To me. Like,
yeah,
no card for that Belaba challenge, and then you obviously had the one as well. Of course, the Webster went down, and basically Webster went down. I think he was being manhandled or whatever. He claims he was being manhandled. I haven't actually watched the replay yet.
I don't think it was much of a pen. To be honest.
Oh really? I haven't actually seen it back, but I'm pretty sure he was asking for it to be checked, and I could be, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think it was checked, and so. Everyone in the stadium was thinking, well, what's going on? Why is this not being checked? So yeah, it was just a lot of things that happened. When you're in the stadium, you don't get updated. You don't know what's going on. So obviously within the stadium, loads of people around us like going mental because they were getting frustrated of not knowing what was going on and what the referee was doing. So yeah, they can cut that out by just some communication, something on the board or I don't know. Something needs to change.
Webster really made it as if something happened.
Communication's crap.
His arms were going mental all over the place. And then Van Heck saw Webster claiming it. So Van Heck then joined in, I think, probably not knowing what happened. But that was obviously right at the death, wasn't it? I'm pretty sure. Well, we thought that, well, everything
was desperate. Yeah, it was right at the end.
Going to try and get as anything you can, really, from that situation. What else happened in the game? Unfortunately for Webster, it's a known goal for him as well. It was quite a good move from Sheffield United, but he just always seems to be the guy that taps it in. I guess if he hadn't done it, it would have been the Archer striker that probably would have tapped in anyway. So it's one of them ones where you just got to stick a leg and hopefully something happens. But unfortunately for him, it didn't. What did you make of him, Ryan?
Go on, Mez. I'll let you finish because you were going to say something.
Sorry, no, just really quickly. You mentioned Webster. I saw he was getting loads of pelters on socials as well as Jason Steele. I think it's super harsh. I thought, like I said, in the first half, I thought we were really solid at the back. Igor, Webster and Van Hekkel looked really solid. Didn't really, mate, honestly, they didn't have a sniff. Sheffield United did not have a sniff in the first half. And then obviously when we went down to 10 men, I think as a team, we crumbled. So I think the criticism of Webster and, Steele, for example, were just really harsh. Mm-hmm. I just don't really understand.
That's why I asked it, because I always see what can you do? He's a bit of a scapegoat at the moment, yeah. Webster, when things go wrong. Ryan, what do you think? Yeah. Well, yeah, he has his moments for us where he has these periods where he's really, really good and then he kind of falls out of the team or gets injured and then doesn't really get to the levels. Then we see glimpses of it in certain games and then we don't in other games because, I mean, right now, you know, he's battling for a spot with Van Hekkel and Igor when he's not playing a left back because of all the bloody injuries we've got. It's a bit of a weird one for him. I would love for him to stay, obviously. But I imagine some Brighton fans, especially on Twitter, probably want him to go. How many more seasons do you reckon we've got of Adam Webster? Do you reckon he's here to stay for a while? Because, I mean, on the pitch, maybe he's not going as well, but I can guarantee you off the pitch, he is one of probably the leaders in that changing room. And you can see it in all of the videos that they have on socials where he's bantering all the players. And I think he is definitely like a key figure in the changing room. So for that reason, I'd definitely keep him.
It's important to remember that Webster was by far one of our best players not too long ago. And I think, you know, when it was that season when we had Dunk, Webster and White as a back three, it was probably one of the best defences in the league. And I think that's what's surreal is that we've gone from that to... It's unfortunate, but it's just injuries have just killed him. it's really, really unfortunate. But I wouldn't go anywhere as far as saying, you know, Webster to be out of the club or anything like that. Definitely not. But I probably would say, we're just so light as a squad. We're so light. And I think that's where De Zerbi's frustrations are coming from. I mean, De Zerbi said that we haven't seen the real Webster, but then he also says that, you know, we're still competing with these big teams despite losing our best players, despite having this massive injury list and despite not spending as much money as your Newcastles, your Aston Villas, your Chelsea's. You know, these are the teams that we're competing with.
Throwing Chelsea in there, that's class.
Well, it's true though, isn't it? Because Chelsea are what? They're going to be hoping for a top six,
yeah,
aren't they? Top four, top six.
It is weird. They will be our competitors for that, those spots.
In that you've got Villa, Newcastle, Chelsea, Manchester United, not so much anymore, but they're going to be competing for it. And that's the level that we want to be at. And that's the level we have been at. So that's who we're competing with. And we still are competing with, despite being on a bit of a bad run. But again, it's just the squad. Like, we just aren't ready for it at all. And it keep coming down to the same things, unfortunately, is that we're just too light. We don't have enough, as we could have predicted from the summer transfer. But again, we've had so many injuries.
Yeah, I've got a list in front of me. You've got the current injury list. You've got Lewis Dunk, Julian Ciso, Pervisic Opinion, Evan Ferguson, Tarek Lamptey, Solly March, James Milner, Danny Welbeck. And was it the Pursuit of the Truth Brightonian account? He goes, you could make a pretty good lineup just from those players alone. And then chucking and losing Alexis, Caicedo, Carl Will in the summer. And he says, considering all of the above, we're doing amazingly well. I was going to say, considering we're doing amazingly well, which I agree. And even the games where we've dropped points, we only have ourselves to blame, really. He's very true.
And can I just say, of those players that you've said that are injured, you know, you've got, Dunk, been literally playing pretty much every game for us the past 5 years. You've got Lamptey, been so injury prone over the last few years. We've got Welbeck, injury prone over the last few years. James Milner, 37 years old. Julio Enciso is very unfortunate. We've got, who's the other one? Solly March had back history of knee injuries. So this, it sounds, Estupiñán overused at left back, so he had no one else to cover him. So it sounds ridiculous when you say how many injuries we've got, but actually they've been reasonably foreseeable.
This is surprising, yeah.
In a not so distant way at all, really.
Lallana's not on the list, if that's what you're getting at, Ryan, which is surprising. And also, another person...
until next month.
Yeah, another person that's not on the list, and Mazel, go to you, because he probably warmed up in front of you. Jakob Moda's finally not on the list. He was on the bench against Sheffield United, which was so, so nice to see. There's a moment on when I was watching the game, all the fans were singing his name, and then the camera panned to him, and he was just smiling, like bobbing his head to it, as if he was like listening to a song, which was such a nice moment for him. And just such a great moment to see. But what was it like when he started warming up in front of you guys? Because you could hear it on the telly, all the fans singing his name, and the applause was insane.
Yeah, no, it was class. Yeah, it's really good to see him back, you know. I think he could potentially be a really key member of the team going forward, because as we just mentioned, all the injuries that we've got, I think we need, and especially midfield, we're so light in that centre midfield position. Just because of, you know, question marks over De Hood. I know he's had good games, but he's also had bad games. I love Billy Gilmore. I think he's great. I think he's brilliant in there. But Belaba's still not ready. He's still got time to... He still needs to embed into the team. So I feel like centre midfield is sort of a position where it's all up for grabs. I feel like Jakob Moda, if he comes in and hits the ground running, there's no reason why he can't get a starting position in that centre midfield spot. I don't see any reason why not. So... yeah, I think it's great for competition. It's great for him to come back from injury. Let's just hope he's not one of those players that we spoke about, you know, being consistently injured. I think that'd be a great shame. I hope he's not one of those players. I hope it's just one of those one-off injuries. But, you know, you never know with these things, unfortunately. But it was great to see a really good reception from the fans. And let's just embed him slowly. Let's not do what we do with Estupiñán. Bring him on for 10 minutes and then get injured.
We haven't even spoke about that.
Yeah. Hopefully we don't do an Estupiñán and we just ease him back in, give him maybe 10 minutes at the end and then see how it goes. But yeah, let's just pray he doesn't get re-injured.
Yeah. It was 19 months since his injury against Norwich. And I was like, you could have two kids in that space of time. Then when I said that, my brother was like, did he? And I was like, no. I said, he could have had two kids. He didn't have two kids. Well, he might have had two kids. He might have had one.
You never know. He might have.
Yeah, but no, these days. He could have as many as he wants, actually. I was also told my nan said he could have as many as he wants in that time, just with different people. But yeah. Anyway, cheers, Nan.
Right.
Anything else from the game that we can talk about? Oh, I want to tell you what. Roberto De Zerbi's comment went kind of viral in football recently with him saying,
referees.
It's not news, but I don't like referees, which I thought was a great line anyway. And then he also said, I dislike 80% of the English referees, which which is hilarious.
Yeah, which to me so good. Screams only 80%, which is the surprising part of that. I would have thought it would be considerably higher.
Yeah. Who do you reckon 20%
which ones
is?
Do you like, Roberto?
Mm. Ah, I have no idea who you like.
Honestly.
Yeah, shite.
Not to say it.
He didn't like the behaviour of the referee against Sheffield United, because obviously when he storms over to him and books De Zerbi, because De Zerbi was fuming. And you know, the camera kept panning to him. No, he is. The camera kept panning to De Zerbi having a go at the fourth official as well. Like, just the attitude on the referees is just mind-boggling sometimes. I think they don't really, they just ignore them, which then winds up the managers even more.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's what it comes down to, because was it Poch as well kicked off yesterday, didn't he? Last night after the Man City Chelsea game, he had it out with the referees as well. And I think what's happening is, I feel like, do you know what it is with referees? Some of them as well, they all got a bit of a power trip, aren't they? They're a bit like a bouncer on a night out. Because they've got a badge, right? And they're you know, this power of authority. They think they can speak to you in a certain way, and they can act in a certain way, and they can sort of do what they want, which to an extent is true. They are the, you know, they are there to keep the law. However, I think there's ways to deal with people. There's ways to speak to people. And granted, managers and players can also be more respectful. You know, it works both ways. I'm not saying it should just be referees that have to be respectful and all that kind of stuff. But I think you see a lot of them go on a bit of a power trip, and they think they're, you know, the main person, the main character syndrome. And they just really spoil the game, because it make it all about them. Yeah, they're not thinking about the game and the wider repercussions and, you know, making bookings. Like Gustavo Harmer, I think, was very lucky yesterday not to get a second yellow. There was just like, there's times where you just think, right, you've had a poor performance, but yet you come to the end of the game, you're still giving it the big one as if like you've had a worldie. So I think they have a bit of a complex, some of them, which really needs to get rid of. And I don't know how we approach
that. Matt Dean was a good example, wasn't he, on that Sky Sports thing the other day with Paul Merson. I mean, when Paul Merson obviously lost it, and you don't really blame him, do you? I mean, with sort of just how he sits there and that's the rules, you know, I don't have to blow my trumpet and all this. And I was just thinking, mate, why are you sitting there like an arrogant clown speaking to a former footballer like that when you've never played the game before?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just mind blowing. I mean, you know, at least if you played football before and not read it out of a textbook, you'd have some legs to stand on. But yeah, it keeps coming down to the same thing. I see De Zerbi's frustrations because, I mean, the Sheffield United manager was doing I think it was his assistant, just doing the same thing. He was way out of his box, shouting at the fourth official, shouting at the referee, going crazy. And just because it's De Zerbi, it feels like he's become a bit of a scapegoat, really, just because it's him and he's been booked before, he's been sent off before, he's Italian. They're just going to book him. And I think I actually understand that because it's very harsh on him, to be honest.
I don't think it helps, by the way, that now that he's come out with these comments about the referees, now the referees are going to target him, I reckon, because
100%.
They're going to be like, well, he's slagging us off, yeah.
Mate, so we're going to make Brighton's life hell next game, 100%.
Well, I think they're going to punish us as a team, you know, because obviously he's the manager of Brighton of Albion. So I think byproduct, we're going to get the decision. yeah. So cheers, Robert, Roberto. We're going to now suffer because of you. I'm happy. Do you know what? I'm actually glad that he did come out and you know, gave his honest opinions and actually vocalised them. You know, fair play to him. He stands up for what he thinks is right. And I'm all for it.
And he's not like apologising like,
you know, speaks out what he thinks is.
But the fraud Poch did, because Poch apologised literally in his post-match presser afterwards, saying how he crossed the line. But yeah, because he's obviously, and then I don't think he's been charged because of it, because he apologised.
He's always been nice guy, isn't he, Poch? Yeah. He was like at Spurs and always had that nice guy complex, but then say whatever you want during the game and then you go back to being Mr. Nice Guy in the media again. At least Zerbi follows through with his actual thoughts. I mean, what's the point in just, you know, thinking something and not saying it? You may as well just go for it. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You get a fine. What's it matter to them? They're rich anyway. So, I mean, just go for it, mate. Yeah,
The weirdest part about the referee at Chelsea City was, it's because it was Anthony Taylor. And now Anthony Taylor has loads of history of Chelsea anyway.
Oh,
Chelsea fans hate
God's
him.
Sake.
But
I thought he could go to a podcast like hearing that guy's name. I just can't bother.
This is the maddest part. Last week he was demoted to referee Coventry versus Preston in the Championship, which made the news because he was demoted. And it's the first time that's happened for ages. And he also had a howler in that one. He gave a penalty, which was not a penalty. And that was went all over Twitter. So then following week, get put in charge of a game between Man City and Chelsea, two of the biggest clubs in England, after being demoted and having another howler in the league below. Chelsea having history with these mad decisions with Chelsea. It's just, I have no idea how that kind of happened. What was the thought process with all of that? Surely if you got demoted, then...
I don't think there is one, Ben.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? There actually isn't one.
Yeah, it's insane.
No, I agree. It's just, what you've said, Ben, the facts alone are enough of an insult. And I think that's enough. The facts are an insult. Therefore, opinions don't even need to matter, do they? Because it writes itself. I could sit here and moan about Anthony Taylor for the next 20 minutes if you want me to. But I mean, it's just pointless. It just goes to show what's wrong with it from the top to the bottom.
Yeah, true. All right. I'm going to sneeze 1,000 more times after this. And go in bed and probably edit this in bed because I feel so rough. Anyone else want to say anything about Sheffield United or Ajax before I go and sneeze?
No, I just thought, it was one of those games that was like, without sounding cliched, it was a game of two halves, wasn't it? First half, we were dominant. Like I said, I don't think Sheffield United had a sniff in the first half. I don't think they created one chance.
They didn't do anything
as well at half time. It was just ridiculous. Yeah. No, they didn't do anything.
They actually did.
We had quadruple their passes, I'm pretty sure, in the first half.
Oh, yeah, it was outrageous. I don't think they touched the ball. I actually don't think they touched the ball. Yeah. The stats trophy, we won that, boys, so that's good.
We always do.
But then, second half, I thought second half, like you said, Ben, they slowly did creep into the game. But again, up until that sending off, I don't think they actually did anything. They didn't actually create many chances.
Nah.
And then literally, I think they scored, what, a couple of minutes after the red card? Mm. Or 5 minutes after the red card? And then, we just didn't look like we were going to get back into the game with 10 men.
And that's just annoying, isn't it?
One of those frustrating
games. Ourselves in the foot, Matt. It's like, we're just so prone to it. I don't know why we seem to just, as I said, I think it was on a podcast a few weeks ago, we go from a team that's playing some of the best football in the Premier League to the team that just forgets how to play football together. Like, they've never met each other before, and that we end up doing something silly, and then, you know, Webster sticks in his own net, and then that's all that it needed. And that's it. That's the game over. It's just so frustrating.
Even after the first, I think it was like 3 minutes in, when, do you remember, Ryan, or Ben, if you watched the game, when they crossed it across the box and Van Hecker nearly scored an OG with his head? Do you remember that? It was literally like 2 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
It got whipped across our own box.
I thought that was it, actually, to be fair. I must admit.
And I'm pretty sure it was pretty close. But yeah, it was just from that moment, I was like, why can't we? Like, we've gone from beating Ajax away 2-0 to then going to Sheffield United at home. And like, that's one thing that's really baffling me at the moment is like,
we would have let them score, mate, without them even touching the ball. They literally would have had their first touch of the ball as well.
I just can't go into any game now and just be confident. Like, I can't go into a game now thinking, we're going to win this game tonight. Like, I just don't go. Oh, yeah, I think we're just so inconsistent at the moment. And it is really frustrating. And I know there's injuries. I know there's rotation. I know there's a lot of factors. And do you know what? We're not actually doing that bad. When you look at the league table and where we are in Europe, we're about to qualify for the group. About to qualify through the group. Well, fingers crossed. And I think we're sitting, eighth at the moment? In the Premier League.
Look, I'm going to interrupt you there, and I'm going to ask
you. It's not panic stations.
What is a failure? Like this, or in fact, no, what is worst case that would still be good this season? Forgetting Europe, right? I'll ask you, Maz, and then ask you, Ben. Taking your point, we're doing well considering everything we're going through, which is completely true, and I completely agree.
Yeah.
How low is low for us this season in the Prem? Like, where would you accept?
That's a really good question. So we're eighth now. Come the end of the season, I think we finish anything lower than 12th, I think that would be really bad. That would be really poor. I expect us to at least get a top 10 finish considering we're in Europe. Because look, it's our first season in Europe. We can't be expected to be going, being a top six team and, you know, competing for Champions League. Like, let's be realist about it. We're handling a brand new thing we've never experienced before. The manager, the club, the players, the fans, like, this is all new. So I'll take a top 10 finish and get far in the Europa League, which I don't know what that equates to, but quarterfinals, maybe something like quarters. I'll take that all day long. Top 10 finish and that. Just quickly, if we don't get European spot, like Europa or Conference League, I think we're going to find it super difficult next season to attract maybe some of the players we are looking like I've seen, we've been looking with that Bargy from Copenhagen, Barco, the left back from Boca. Like, if we don't get European football, I think we're going to struggle to attract the type of players we might want next season.
Yeah. I think the teams below us,
Ben,
other than Chelsea, who are kind of coming up a little bit, I think we are just better than them, even with dealing with Europe as well. So I think top 10 finish, if we finished eighth, and like I said in the first half, if we finished eighth and got far in Europa, that would be a very, very good season, I'd still think. Maybe I'll take that. I would be disappointed, even though this is a mad thing to say if we finish in the bottom half.
Yeah, what's lowest though, Ben? Like, what is lowest? Like,
well, 10th, because that's the top 30, half. 12, I think I'd be 10th. I'll be happy with 10th and lowest, yeah, for sure. That'd be the lowest we can go.
It's interesting. Yeah. No, it's fair. I think I probably agree. I wouldn't really want to be saying 13th or 12th or 11th, because it just feels a little bit of a, we've got this great manager, we've got Mitoma, we've got Nciso, we've got these great players at our disposal, and then to say that we're a bottom half team again, and then say, we don't, not saying we should win the Europa League by any stretch, but light's gone off. But we shouldn't. We should be wanting to get to the latter rounds,
I've got an interesting one for you two as well. So to talk about like where we, so right now, right, West Ham are 9th, Chelsea 10th, Brentford 11th, and Wolves 12th, right? Would you think any of those teams, so Wolves, Brentford, Chelsea, West Ham, will finish above us, meaning we will then go down to, let's say, a 12th position? Do you think they'll finish above us in the season? I think Chelsea, you probably got to be realistic.
Chelsea could. That's
maybe, yes, they're picking
bias,
up form now.
Yeah. And they don't have to worry
Chelsea
about
Chelsea recency bias says, yeah. Yeah, fair.
And then West Ham, Brentford, Wolves,
probably
do you think
not.
They got the capacity? No.
They don't have the capacity.
I don't think.
And also, we're only 12 games into the season. We're 12 games into the season. There's so much left of the season to play. I don't want people thinking that we're all doom and gloom here, because I still think we are going to have a really good season.
Oh, no, that's not the point. No,
Yeah.
That's not the point. I'm asking what the lowest purely because I just want to know. Yeah, it's more about setting yourselves a bit of a reality check, should I say, because what we're going through at the minute is De Zerbi doesn't like saying bad form, as we learned in the last week's press conference. So he doesn't deem us in bad form because of the circumstances. And I do agree with him. You want to beat Sheffield United. That's the trouble. I think that's where it's a bit annoying because, they're bottom of the league.
Agree.
But then again, when you look at us this time last year, we were going through a bit of a bad run. Apart from obviously beating Chelsea, we struggled still. We lost to Everton, we lost to Forest, we lost to these lower league sides, and we still ended up in sixth. So that last then, if you compared last season beginning Potter to losing Potter to getting De Zerbi, etc., to then January onwards and that last run with everything going crazy, listening to Free From Desire every night, it's two different seasons, isn't it?
Yeah, that is. I'm pretty sure.
Bear in mind, Ryan, we didn't have
someone said that we didn't have any
European football last season either. So I was just about to say we didn't have any European football to compete with last season as well. So you got to remember that as well.
And someone said that we're better off now than we were last season, points wise. Don't know if that was maybe that was only
oh,
was
yeah,
last
yeah,
week.
That's
right?
Interesting.
I think that was before the last Sheffield. Yeah, I think that was before the Sheffield United game. I think.
Okay.
But yeah, it'd be interesting to know if we still are, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, on that note, at least we've got the international break to look forward to. Lol. Don't even know who England are playing. Dunks. Yeah.
No, I actually think it's a good thing.
Now. No.
But it's actually we need the break. I think it gives our whole squad time to recuperate and hopefully get a few faces back. I think a lot of teams are buzzing with this international break, to be honest. So.
Yeah. It's needed. Yeah. It's needed for us as well.
Forest can be tough. We struggled there last year, and I'm not big club away from my own loud fans, but notoriously we struggle with that mid-table side. A lot of pace in their team, we always seem to struggle.
Loud fans, 90+,
but hey, you never know. Yeah, exactly, our fans are louder than yours. Always actually ending a goal for them, that's the trouble with us. You just look at but we'll see. Anyway, we're not going to be too negative. We'll beat Forest. Be fine.
We will beat Forest. Okay, we'll probably do a preview.
Also, boys.
Well.
Also, boys, we desperately need a win purely for us to get more views and listens. So please buy an album. We're really struggling.
What's happened to our fans? What's happened to the fans? Where
the real
are
ones.
You?
The real ones.
Put
are still
Dealer Smith filling on.
all the plastics are fucked off. All the plastics are supporting Aston Villa now because they're now the new hipster team, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, they actually are. That's the thing. That's funny. Funny.
Right. Well, like and subscribe. Leave a nice rating on Spotify and Apple. Maz, thanks for coming. Ryan, thank you for coming.
Yeah.
And last in the whole hungry now, second boys. Half as well. Yes, I'm absolutely starving. I think it's going to be like an hour.
It never ends like that, does it? It's like, I'll just get on there early, get this over with, and you still end up staying, don't we? It's just part of the DNA of the Secret Socials.
What we got to do.
We love it so much.
It's what we do. Okay, right. So we'll see you sometime after England have beaten two random teams from Europe.
Peace.
Yep, sounds about right.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.